What Brother Woodhouse was saying is, we do our living while we're giving, then we're knowing where it's going. That's good to practice. Thank you for coming tonight. Brother Woodhouse's wife lost her Bible. Somebody, oh, you got it. I lost the $5 bill. The serial number on it is 137-941-25. If anyone found that $5 bill with that serial number on it, it's mine. Those will fit. So she chose, "Great is thy faithfulness." And that's what the pastor's son sang. Great is thy faithfulness. Now, if you were not here at any of the previous meetings this week, you were handed a sheet of paper coming in with a caption at the top, "The Alphabet of Christian Experience." Just a simple, maybe a slightly novel way of approaching the study of God's Word. And you come across great words that are often neglected in our Bible teaching ministry. And I thought this would give us an opportunity to do that. I have a series on the alphabet of Christian doctrine. Of course, the A begins with adoption. And the alphabet of Christian names and titles. And of course, the first one, letter A, begins with "We are ambassadors." Now, I'm not going to promise you that I'll go alphabetically. I may skip around a little bit, but the purpose for giving out the outline tonight on the alphabet is for you to take it with you. It might just revive your family altar a little bit as to the method of reading your Bible, looking up great texts, and then associating those texts with other verses of Scripture that have to deal with the same subject. Now open your Bible, please, to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. That's our text, and we'll read it, and then not straightway depart from it, but we will associate some other scriptures. Let us pray. Thank you, Father, for sparing us one more day. Had we gone to heaven, it would have been glory for us. But you have placed us here and allowed us one more day to serve thee. And Lord, we want to be thy servants. And we pray that you will guide us and guard us tonight as we join together in looking into the Holy Scriptures with the presence of the Holy Spirit, that he might bring to our attention truth from thy word that will help us in our Christian life, help us to witness more effectively, to live with one another as believers. Guide us tonight, dear Lord, and if anyone came who has never been saved, may that one come to trust Christ. For we ask this in his worthy name with thanksgiving. Amen. Our text is Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me." Now the word deny is used both in a good sense and in a bad sense. Turn to Matthew chapter 26, please. Matthew chapter 26. And I'll read beginning with about verse 31. Matthew 26 and verse 31. Then saith Jesus unto them, "All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flocks shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee." Peter answered and said unto him, "Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended." Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." There's your key word in our text. Deny thyself. Then cometh Jesus with them into a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here, while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then said he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch with me. And he went a little further, and fell on his face, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. For the spirit is willing, but the soul is weak. Now we're going back to Matthew 26 for a moment. We're going to turn to another Matthew 26, and we're going to look at verse 35. Verse 35. Now let me see. We just read 35. Let's go down to verse 69. This is a long chapter. Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, Thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he, what, class? He denied, used in a bad sense. He denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another saw him and said unto them that were there, This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, Surely thou art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. Denial. In a bad sense, to deny the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a price that has to be paid for that. Now, self-denial is not merely the denial, but denying of self. There is a difference. I think most religions practice self-denial in one way or another. Times when they will not eat certain kinds of food. They'll do without certain pleasures over a period of time. But that is not denying self. Let's look at some scriptures this evening and see if we can get the meaning of this exhortation from our Lord. Denying self. There comes to my mind a very familiar verse in the 3rd chapter of the Gospel according to John. It was uttered by John the Baptist, or better known as the Baptizer. John chapter 3 and verse 30. Now this is one of 7 significant musts in the Gospel according to John. There's one in chapter 3, verse 14. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. The must of the Savior's redemption. The Son of Man must be lifted up. Now in chapter 3, verse 30, you have another must. The first one is you must be born again in the same chapter. The third one is in verse 30. He must increase. I must decrease. I think this is really the heart of the text denying itself. I have to make more of the Lord Jesus and less of myself. He must increase. I must decrease. I must exalt the Savior and make very little of myself. That, my friends, is denying self. I'm going to ask you to turn to Luke chapter 9, please. Luke chapter 9. And what we're doing is following up on these texts. Alphabetically arranged. You find Luke chapter 20, chapter 9, rather. Look at verse 57. It came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, get your ballpoint pen ready now. Get ready. If you mark your Bible, mark it. Suffer the next two words. Me first. Me first. To go and bury my Father. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury the dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first. That, ladies and gentlemen, is the opposite of denying self. Me first. This is so characteristic of humanity, and Christians are not exempt. The me first attitude is so obvious, so frequently among God's people. Me first! Oh, we don't shout it out like that, but we sure do show it in our lifestyle sometimes. Let a man deny himself. It's not me first. If it has to be me first, I'm a loser. All the way, I am a loser. Mark the me first. Let's go back to the gospel according to Matthew. Now just think of this word first as we work our way through some scriptures. The gospel according to Matthew, and find chapter 6, please. Matthew chapter 6. That's the Sermon on the Mount, and we will look at 6 and verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought. Don't worry. Don't worry about what you should eat. He doesn't say get careless now and gorge yourself with a lot of glop and put on a lot of unnecessary weight and dig your grave with your own teeth. That's not what he's saying here. I think he wants us to be careful about what we eat, both quality and quantity-wise. And don't worry about it. Don't make a big deal of it. Behold the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap, and don't gather into barns, but your heavenly Father feeds them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought, that means by worrying, by fussing, by doubting, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought? Why worry? Why drive yourself into a frazzle? For raiment, oh my soul, haven't got a thing to wear. Only got 31 dresses in the closet. About a dozen suits. What are you worrying about? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? By the way, there are degrees of faith. There are degrees of faith. After a message recently, a man came up and he said, you'll have to explain what our Lord meant when he said to Peter about his faith failing him. Does that mean that a believer can lose his salvation? No, there are degrees of faith. On one occasion, our Lord said, O ye of little faith. On another occasion, he said, I have not seen such great faith. On another occasion, you couldn't do the job because of no faith. There are degrees of faith. So it doesn't suggest that a believer can lose his salvation. O ye of little faith. Wherefore take no thought. Don't worry. What shall we eat or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles or the heathen seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. Now watch it. But seek ye, what's the next word? First. Oh. It's not me first. It's not me first. It's not what I'm going to buy for myself. No. It's not me first. He's teaching us a lesson. Seek first the kingdom of God. When it's me first, I'm not denying self. There's a simple lesson here in denying self. Do we not worry? And we suffer from this. We're not trusting God. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now if you will turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. We're going to get the classic illustration and the finest biblical example of denying self. Philippians chapter 2. Now this has been a controversial chapter with theologians, of whom I am not one. But let's look at it for just a moment. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And I'll read beginning with verse 4. Look not every man on his own things, that is his own interests, but every man also on the things of the interests of others. It's not me first. There are others out there. They may belong to the household of faith. They may not even be saved. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled, what's the next word? Himself. And what did he do? He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Was it me first? No. The Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Me first? No. Beloved, if he had practiced me first, you and I would not have had a Savior. He redeemed us. He denied self. He gave himself. Not me first. Oh, we Christians have so much to learn when this subject is brought to our attention. At least I speak for myself. I speak for myself. Now look at verse 21 of Philippians 2. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. They seek their own. They don't deny self. Nor the things of Jesus Christ. When it's me first, we are in trouble. Let's turn for a moment to Luke chapter 12. Matthew, Mark, Luke chapter 12. We want to read a few verses from Luke 12, beginning with verse 13. We have here a rather long chapter, 59 verses. We'll begin with verse 13. That's the beginning of a paragraph. One of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. Now watch this. Here's the me first, the one who does not deny itself. And he thought within himself, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. Oh, what shall I do? Because I have no room whereby to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods, and I will say to my soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. And God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Me first? Doesn't pay off, dear friends. We're always losers when we don't deny self. This denial of self is a solemn command from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave us the perfect example of denying self. Well, let's look at some more scriptures. Got a little time here. We have to use it for God's glory. Turn back to Matthew chapter 22, please. Matthew chapter 22. Now, there may be a little repetition here, but I want to press and impress upon all of us the importance of this command from the lips of Jesus, denying self. Not me first. We've got our Bibles open now to Matthew chapter 22, and we'll move down again to this 34th verse. When the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first, and great commandment. It's not me first. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Jesus said so. If you don't think so, we better rethink what Jesus taught. There's no self in this. There's no self in this. Well, let's finish there with that 38th verse. And I'd like to go back to John 21. John 21. This is one of the post-resurrection scenes. And we'll read from John 21, beginning with verse 15. When they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? There's some question as to what or to whom the word these refers. I have an idea he might be asking him, do you love me more than the rest of these disciples? I'm not going to be dogmatic on that. But he said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my lambs. Oh, feed my lambs, yes. Unless it's you first, Peter. If it isn't, you'll find something else you choose to do. He said to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he said, Lord, yes, thou knowest that I love thee. And the Lord said, feed my sheep. And he said to him a third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved. Our Lord used some different words here for love. Lovest thou me? Peter said, he was grieved and said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Suppose we were listening to the Lord speak to us personally. Suppose he had me to one side like he had Peter. And he said, Layman, do you love me? Well, yes, Lord, you know I have a lot of respect for you. Now, Peter, do you love me? Lord, I believe that you are the most wonderful person I've ever met. Peter, do you love me with the kind of love with which I love you? The love of God. And that is shed abroad in our hearts when we're born again, Romans chapter 5. The Holy Spirit comes in. God Himself enters into our bodies. Does He take over? Do we really love the Lord Jesus Christ? Back to John 3:30. He must increase. I must decrease. I'm going to ask you to look at some scripture verses in the book of the Revelation. Turn please to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. The last book in the New Testament and the last book in the Bible. Revelation chapter 1. Let me read verse 8. Now there are more than 200 names and titles of the Lord Jesus in your Bible. Most of them in the New Testament, of course. Here are a couple for consideration. Jesus said, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Verse 11. I am Alpha and Omega, the what class? First. Oh, it's not me first. Somebody else comes first. If I'm going to deny self, I will not try to be number one. I don't have to be first. If I'm serving Him, He said, I am the first, and I am the last. Now look at verse 17. Peter said when he saw the Lord, or John said, I'm sorry, when he saw the Lord, he fell at His feet as dead. And He laid His right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the what? I'm the first. He's reminding us in His last words, written to John on the Isle of Patmos, I am the first and the last. I am the beginning and the end. And John, don't you ever forget it. I am the first. I am the last. Now turn to the last part of the book of the Revelation and let's see how the Bible closes. So find Revelation, please, and chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. And when you found chapter 21, let me read a few verses. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. I will not be dogmatic about this, but I do believe that it is not merely possible, but probable that this new heaven and this new earth is what our Lord Jesus was talking about when He said in John 14, I go to prepare a place for you. Here's something coming down from God out of heaven. It's not heaven. It's a satellite city. It comes down from God out of heaven. It's just like planet Earth suspended in space. I believe it is probably the place our Lord was spoken about. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Be wonderful when we get there, won't it, folks? And there shall be no more death, thank God, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And He that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And He said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Write them, John. And He said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Now the last chapter in your Bible, chapter 22 of the book of the Revelation. As you look at chapter 22, I want to read verse 13. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the what class, the first and the last. I have a question for you tonight. Denying self is perhaps illustrated more clearly and completely in John 3:30 than any other single verse uttered by a human being. He must increase. I must decrease. No longer is it me first. He is the first and the last. He is the beginning and He is the end. Now in conclusion, turn to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. There are many first chapters in the New Testament that exalt the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. John 1 is one of them. Hebrews 1 is another. Ephesians 1 is another. Colossians 1 is another. First chapters in the New Testament that magnify, glorify, exalt the deity of our Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 1 is one of them. In this first chapter, wrapped up with a little phrase, all things, you have a lovely portrait, a pen portrait of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now don't think I'm picayune or gone off the deep end when I tell you that we never had pictures of Jesus in our home to show to our children. Nobody knows what Jesus looked like. We have artist conceptions of Jesus. Some having dressed very feminine-like, others with real long hair and all different styles. If you want a portrait of the Lord Jesus, teach your children and your grandchildren what the Bible says about Christ. Let them get their concepts of Jesus from the Scripture. Colossians chapter 1. A little phrase, all things. Verse 16. For by Him were all things created. That is His power. The end of verse 16, all things were created by Him and for Him they are His possessions. Mark the all things. And He is before all things His preexistence. Bethlehem was not the beginning of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the eternal Son of God, His preexistence. And by Him all things consist, they hold together, His providence. What He creates, He controls all things. And He is the head of the church, the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence, that He might be number one, that He might always be first. And the word preeminence, as you all know, appears only one other time in the New Testament. You'll find it in the third epistle of John. A man by the name of Diotrephes loved to have the preeminence. He was apparently an elder in the local assembly, and the apostle John was coming through, and word going ahead that John's coming through. It'd be nice to have John open the word to us on the Lord's Day. And Diotrephes said, I'm number one here. I'll do the preaching. Let John sit and listen to me. Diotrephes loved to have the preeminence. That's the only other time you'll find the word preeminence in the New Testament twice. That in all things he might have the preeminence. What is it to deny self? Beloved, it simply is not me first. He must increase. I must decrease. Let us pray. Thank you, Father, for giving to us the Holy Scriptures and the Holy Spirit to be our teacher. And thank you, Father, for making clear to us from Thy Word that we are but clay, And we could end up living a life of me first and die like a fool. Lord, help us as Christians to recognize the great truth, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Grant, Lord, that as we leave tonight, it'll not be me first, but Christ first. And may that reach out to others. May we show love and compassion and concern for others. We ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.